Thank you, Scott. That was a great job, as always. We appreciate Scott, and I agree with Richard that Scott is a very multi-talented individual, and we appreciate him and his wife and family. They're great assets to our church. And so that's a great song. Great job with that great message in that song. Well, good evening. It's good to see you once again, and I'm honored to be filling in for Dr. May tonight and standing before you. And so I'm going to ask that we take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and take your Bible bookmark and mark John 14. Ephesians 5, we'll look at verses 18 through 21, and then we'll also look at John 14. As I said, take your something there and mark that, and we'll look at that during the body of the message. Ephesians 5, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, one of his prison epistles, and gives us great instruction here on a subject that I really enjoy. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 21. And he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together, Lord, when we open your word. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to open our hearts and receive your word. Lord, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Pray that you'd forgive me of my sins and give me the words to say. For your honor and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hetty Green was born on November 21st, 1834. And in her adult years, she was a successful businesswoman, and she was known as the richest woman in America. Many people called her the Queen of Wall Street. When she died in 1916, she left behind an estate worth more than $100 million. But in her latter years, she became known for being stingy, and the Guinness Book of World Records actually named her as, quote, "the greatest miser." She was so stingy that she would eat cold oatmeal. Think about that for a moment. Not wet oatmeal, cold oatmeal, in order to save money that it would cost to heat the water. She wore one dress, and she wore the same dress until it was completely worn out, and then she would buy just one new dress. When her son hurt his leg, she took so long trying to find a free clinic to treat his injury that his leg had to be amputated because of infection. Sometimes as Christians, we treat our spiritual resources like Hetty Green treated her financial resources. She failed to take advantage of the financial wealth that she possessed, and it could have made her life much better. You and I, as believers, we all sometimes fail to take advantage of a resource that we possess, and that resource is the Holy Spirit. Here in chapter 5, Paul says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And so let's be reminded here as part of our introduction, let's be reminded about several things about the Holy Spirit. First of all, let's answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer to that is the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Bible teaches there is one Godhead, and God reveals himself in three ways: God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a thing. It's not a ghost. It's not some cosmic force. The Holy Spirit is a person. A person. And so we see who, we answer the question, who is the Holy Spirit? Let's also talk about what does he do. Hold your place now here in Ephesians 5, and let's go over now to John 14. Flip over there, we see here in John 14 that Jesus is speaking with his disciples. They are meeting together and that they observe the Lord's Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet and they're having this discussion. A couple of the disciples ask Jesus some questions. And in this discussion, Jesus tells the disciples that he will soon leave. Now, a lot of the things that Jesus told the disciples, they didn't really understand at the time, and especially the fact him telling them that he was about to leave. But he also told them that when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will come. So I want you to look now, John 14, look here at verse 16 and 17. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Some Bible versions say comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit, a name for the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Here it is. I love this. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. There we see the two-part ministry of the Holy Spirit. I love that, one verse. I just love that. I love the fact that Jesus, that God is telling us in one verse what the role and responsibility of the Holy Spirit will be during the church age. Jesus says there that the Holy Spirit will come, and first of all, he says that he will be with us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? That means that in the church age, that the Holy Spirit will be among us. He will be in our presence. Doesn't matter if it's during when we gather together as a group or if it's when we're at home all alone having our quiet time. That presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. 40 days after that, he ascended into heaven. Then after that, the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt those disciples there on the day of Pentecost, and the church age began. And Jesus says that in that church age, the Holy Spirit will be with us, praise the Lord. And he also says that he will be what? In us. Every person that accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, at that moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into them, takes up residence inside of them, indwells them at that moment of salvation. He resides in us. So the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, he dwells, he resides in each one of us as believers, and he is always with us. And Paul says here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Here Paul says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about content or quantity. The Bible doesn't teach. The Bible nowhere teaches that we are to be filled as in quantity by the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's talking about here. It's not talking about quantity. When you get saved, you got all the Holy Spirit that you're going to get. Any person, the Holy Spirit either lives in them or he don't. And so he says, be filled. That means to be under his control. It means that we are to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. not allow the flesh to have control, not allow our sin nature to have control, but deny the flesh, as the Bible says, deny our sinful nature and allow the Holy Spirit to have control. So remember that at that point of salvation, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That is a one-time event. Okay, amen? That is a one-time occurrence. But the filling or the surrendering to the Holy Spirit is continuous. It is continuous. It is something that we are to continually to be doing. We're indwelt one time, but we continue to live the Christian life surrendering to the Holy Spirit. My relationship with the Holy Spirit, whatever he might have done in my life last week, does me no good tomorrow. The filling of the Holy Spirit, the surrendering to the Holy Spirit, has to be a day-by-day experience. And so here Paul tells us what happens when we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit. All right, here we go. Buckle up. The results of a Spirit-filled life. Three things. Notice here, first of all, back in Ephesians 5. First of all, it results in a singing heart. A singing heart. Look at verse 19. Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So notice right here in verse 19, this first result of surrendering to the Holy Spirit, this first result of being filled, as he says, by the Holy Spirit, is not performing miracles. This first result is not speaking in tongues. This first result is not some great performance. This first result is not even preaching a great sermon. It's simply having a heart that sings. It doesn't matter now if you have a beautiful voice and you sing in front of thousands of people. And it doesn't matter that you can't carry a tune in a bucket like me. A Holy Spirit-filled Christian is a singing Christian. Stay with me now. Understand what he's saying here. So he says here that a Holy Spirit-filled Christian is a singing Christian. In other words, when we consider who God is and we consider what God has done for us as believers, the fact that he has saved us from our sins, he saved us from the pits of hell, he's made us one of his children, he's given us a guaranteed home in heaven. When we consider all of those things, it results in praise. We can't help but praise him. When we think about the blessings and benefits that comes from being a child of God. James 5:13 says this, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. It's an interesting relationship between singing and joy and rejoicing, the attitude of believers. I don't understand the psychological, emotional way that works. But music has an effect on us, right? Amen? Christian music has an effect on us. We all enjoy good singing, good Christian music. And so if we are joyful, if we are in good times, going through good times, everything's great, and we are joyful, then we sing. But if we're going through bad times, or things are not so great, if we find ourselves in the valley, we don't feel like giving God praise, then we have to be intentional. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, maybe we go to God's Word. We read maybe some psalms, some encouraging psalms in the book of Psalms or some other encouraging verses. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. The Holy Spirit that Jesus called the Comforter brings comfort to us, and that results in praise. In other words, joy results in singing, and singing results in joy. Singing and joy are joined together. The Bible says in Psalm 96, verse 1 and 2, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name." Throughout the Bible, God's people are commanded to sing. Now listen, this doesn't mean that every church member's got to be a member of the choir. It means living a lifestyle of worship, having a heart that sings, having a heart that gives God praise, not just singing on Sunday morning in the worship service, but continually giving God praise, singing and rejoicing. We've all remember that old hymn, "He Keeps Me Singing." You remember that one, "He Keeps Me Singing"? "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow." Here's the chorus. "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing." Here it is, listen. "Keeps me singing," what? "As I go." Amen, church. "Keeps me singing as I go." That's the Spirit-filled life. You remember in Galatians 5, Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit. When a person is under the control of the Holy Spirit, living a Spirit-filled life, Paul gives us those 9 characteristics that will be evident in that person's life. What are the first 3? Love, joy, and peace. Power of the Holy Spirit. When you surrender to the Holy Spirit, when you're not living in the flesh, but under the control of the Holy Spirit, it will produce in that person love, joy, and peace, and that'll put a song in your heart. So we see here, we've got to hurry. We see here a Spirit-filled life results in a singing heart, but also results in a thankful heart. Look at verse 20. He says they're giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go again. Another biblical command that is certainly easier said than done. Another biblical command that seems impossible. Notice what he says. Give thanks. When? When? Audience participation. Give thanks. When? Always give thanks, he says, for what? All things. Even in times of blessings and when we carry a heavy burden, when times are good and when times are bad, in times of victory and in times of defeat, it says here the command is to give God thanks. How in the world do we do that? Listen, we have to remember, life is not perfect. This world we live in is not perfect. God created a perfect world. He put Adam and Eve in a perfect place, but they committed that first sin and plunged this world into sin. Evil came into the world. And so we live in a broken world. We live in an evil world. But God is not evil. God is good. We can trust God. This world is not perfect, but God is perfect. The Bible says that God rules and reigns from the throne room of heaven. He never slumbers and never sleeps. When we go through difficult times, he promises to never leave us or forsake us. And we have the person of the Holy Spirit inside of us to get us through those tough times. The Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us, and he helps us give thanks. even in the most difficult time. I saw a Peanuts comic strip. It had Snoopy in the comic strip eating dog food for his Thanksgiving dinner, and he noticed everybody else in the house was having turkey. He thinks about it for a moment, and he says to himself, how about that? Everyone is eating turkey today, but just because I'm a dog, I get dog food. He trots outside, sits up on top of his dog house, and he says, of course, I could have been born a turkey. He got thankful real quick, didn't he? Listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, listen, talking about being thanks, giving thanks in all things under the leadership and control of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says it is the will of God. It is the will of God that in everything we give thanks. God loves you. You can always trust God, and we can always give him thanks. So we see here a spirit-filled life results in a singing heart. Number two, results in a thankful heart. And number three, results in a submissive heart. Look at verse 21. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 18. Let's lead into it with verse 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You remember Jesus said in Matthew 22 that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. In that equation, God is first, others next, and self is last. But our pride, our sin nature, our flesh wants self to be first. A spirit-filled life will lead to a life of humility, putting the needs of others first. When we surrender to the Holy Spirit, that enables us to resist our sinful pride, deny our selfish desires, and think about the needs of others. Real quick, Paul said in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, listen to this. He says, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I heard a story about a couple, a married couple, that lived in Los Angeles, lived in an apartment alone, and this couple was found deceased in their apartment. And the autopsy and the investigation indicated that they had died as a result of malnutrition. Malnutrition, they had basically starved to death. Found in their apartment, dead. Also found in their apartment in the bedroom closet in a paper sack was $40,000 in cash. Starved to death with $40,000 cash in their closet. Failing to utilize and take advantage of the resource that they had. Let's take advantage of a powerful resource that you and I possess, the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's take advantage of the power and the presence that the Holy Spirit provides to each one of us. Let's pray that when we gather together, that the presence of the Holy Spirit will be so real to us. And the Holy Spirit inside of us will just be so active and will respond to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, help us to always deny the flesh, allow the Holy Spirit to have control, live that Spirit-filled life, Lord, and pray that that will enable us to always have a heart that gives you praise, to have a thankful heart, Lord, and thank you for who you are and what you stand for and all that you do for us. God, help us to always, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, put the needs of others first. Guide us and direct us. Keep us safe and healthy as we leave tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.